This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, August 2nd. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, the third part in our series on truancy in a Northern Illinois school district, and AM 580's meteorologist Scott Olthoff will give us our weather. First of all, today's news. The Champaign City Council, in its role as Township Board, has formally certified two referendums targeting the Bush administration and the war in Iraq. The passage last night came despite two protest votes. Members of the anti-war group AWARE pushed the questions through at the annual town meeting for the township in April. They call for the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq and the impeachment of President Bush and Vice President Cheney. Council member Vic McIntosh was one of those voting against certification. He says he did so to show his displeasure with the use of the town meeting to address national instead of local issues.
And all those people came out here and had a true voice to be able to help and correct problems here locally, but they chose to use the meeting for a national issue that means nothing. President Bush or Congress could care less what this bill passes.
Mayor Jerry Schweihart cast the other no vote, but other council members said the voting at the town meeting was handled properly, and council members should not let their opposition to the referendum content affect their judgment of the process. The same two referenda are being slated to appear at the November ballot in Urbana, too, after being approved at the annual town meeting there. Mayor Schweihart has received 15 applications for the vacant at-large seat on the Champaign City Council. The applicants are vying to complete the last few months of the term vacated by Kathy Ennen, who's moved out of state. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
The 10 men and 5 women competing for the vacant seat include Champaign County Board members Deb Finan and Patricia Avery. Other applicants serve or have served on city or county advisory panels or have run for office before. But Mayor Jerry Schweihart says he's never heard of many of the applicants.
I would think it would probably be a strike against them because that means they've never been to a meeting down here or never been involved with the council, and probably means they don't have a running idea of how we work. So I'd rather somebody that's been through the election process or been involved in this kind of work or at least been down here to the council.
The political newcomers include U of I network analyst Bradley Mahaffey, high school teacher and administrator Greg Stock, and Iraq War Purple Heart recipient Garrett Anderson Jr. The applicants will address and answer questions from the Champaign City Council at next Tuesday's meeting. The vote to choose a new interim council member is set for August 15th. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The fundraising is well underway for the two main candidates in an open race for an Illinois state Senate seat. At the end of June, state campaign funding reports show that Democrat Mike Frerichs had $113,000 on hand. His Republican counterpart, former Senator Judy Myers, had nearly $66,000 available. Labor union committees represent some of Frerichs's biggest contributors, with nearly $60,000 given in all. The Illinois Laborers Legislative Committee alone gave $15,000. The Illinois Chamber of Commerce's Political Action Committee is Myers' largest single contributor at $5,000, along with other business-related groups. Myers has already spent more than $60,000 on the campaign. Frerichs has spent about $15,000. A third-party candidate, Joe Parnarauskas of the Socialist Equality Party, has about $158. Democrats are challenging his candidacy. The Republican nominee for Illinois Comptroller says she has a way to reduce the backlog of unpaid Medicaid bills. Carol Pankow says she'll take federal reimbursement money and use it solely for paying doctors, hospitals, and pharmacists who are owed. By creating a dedicated account, Pankow says that would cut the time it takes to get checks to Medicaid providers.
These are individuals who are providing critical health care for a large segment of our fellow citizens. And yet, when the state refuses to pay those who provide health care services, there are very real consequences.
Pankow says the state payment delays, often stretching for months, have resulted in doctors turning away patients. But a spokesman for Democratic Comptroller Dan Hines' campaign says the plan would limit the state's cash flow. He says it would result in longer waits for schools, child care providers, and others to get their money. Ameren has agreed to reduce the pollution coming from its coal-fired power plants in Illinois. Under a deal with the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency, the St. Louis-based utility will install mercury controls on most of its generating units by the year 2009. It's also promised to significantly cut emissions of soot and the pollutants that make smog. Illinois EPA Director Doug Scott calls the agreement a fantastic deal, and Ameren's executive Michael Menney says the deal will allow the utility to reduce its emissions in a coordinated fashion. According to the state EPA, adding the equipment that reduces mercury emissions alone will cost Ameren up to $2 million at each plant and could add $1.25 a month to the bills of most residential customers. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Rockford, Illinois has taken a get-tough approach in its fight against school truancy. But last year, the number of kids cutting school went up again, despite police enforcement of a new daytime curfew. The jump underscores just how hard it is to effectively combat the problem. In the final part of our series on Rockford's truancy crisis, Illinois Public Radio's Jay Field reports that the truancy problem has forced some schools to rethink their approach to education.
If you want to know what young people in Rockford think about school, the skateboard park near the airport is a good place to go. On a recent afternoon, about a dozen boys between the ages of 10 and 15 fly off jumping ramps in every direction. Most boys this age don't like sitting behind a school desk, but what qualifies as standard distaste for school in many other places is anything but normal in Rockford. Here, the truancy rate is 4 times the state average.
From what you know, like people you know and hang out with, do you know kids who don't go to school sometimes?
Yeah.
And why does that happen, do you think?
Because they don't like school.
Why?
Nobody likes school.
Because
nobody likes school.
Why is that?
It's just too much learning. School's the way to get ahead.
School is just a waste of time.
Getting disaffected students to want to go to school is the challenge facing Rockford schools. And no one knows this better than Todd France.
On this floor next year, we'll walk down this way here a little bit. On this floor, we basically have all of our freshmen.
France is the principal at Rockford East High School. Standing next to a bank of lockers, he acknowledges that Rockford East has had the worst attendance record of any school in the district. But France and his team have taken action.
We're trying to tie the kids to school. Studies have shown if you tie the kids to the school, the kids want to come to the school, want to be at the school, their attendance, all right, will increase.
The school has created a sort of cocoon for ninth graders on the second floor. France hopes that by isolating freshmen and encouraging teachers to build close relationships with them, his ninth graders won't get lost in the transition to high school. Research shows smaller learning environments can make a difference. Grades and test scores go up, graduation and attendance rates improve.
We have our math, our English, our health teachers right here. These are all the lockers for Team D. So the kids will be going to these three classrooms and just down the hall over here to the gym. And this is the only area they basically have to be in.
So far, the experiment at East High seems to be working. Last year, truancy at the school went down for the first time in recent memory. Officials credit the small learning experiment. They also say the city's new daytime curfew law has helped. But Rockford School Superintendent Dennis Thompson, who backs the curfew, says getting tough with truants has its limits, especially when families aren't encouraging kids to get to school.
There's not a single thing I can do to force a child to go to school. Our social workers can go to the homes, we can knock on the door, we can plead with the parents. At the end of the day, they can slam the door in our face and tell us to go to hell.
Thompson, a former combat soldier in the U.S. Army's 101st Airborne Division, knows that reaching families who've tuned out the school system requires a nuanced, multidimensional strategy. He says the district has been crafting its approach since he took over a little more than 2 years ago. A big piece involves changing how Rockford assigns students to schools.
Right now we have a very dysfunctional process called school choice, where people aren't really getting their choice. Some are, you know, most are, many are not.
Rockford put the policy in place during its decade-long court battle over school integration. The idea was to give minority students equal access to all of the district schools, but officials argue the system has created 2 tiers of schools, the good ones that parents fight to get their kids into, and schools with bad reputations, like East High, that students end up at because they didn't get their first choice. Thompson believes assigning students to schools in their neighborhoods would help change this trend.
Parents want to know, even if they're 3 years old, where are they going to go to elementary, middle, and high school? You know, that way you can have a long-term vested interest in those schools to which your kid are going to go to.
Thompson says this level of engagement makes kids more likely to want to go to school and families more willing to do what it takes to get them there. But Thompson also admits it won't be enough to reach those students in Rockford who find school irrelevant.
We have a lot of kids who'll say, I don't know what I want to be. I like to build things. I like to solve problems. And I'm tired of going to school.
Research shows high dropout rates are often linked to high rates of truancy. Thompson says Rockford has no reliable estimates on its actual dropout rate. What he can say is that the city's schools must develop better ways of reaching kids who are languishing as they enter the last part of high school. One place that's been helping dropouts for years is a program called Youth Build Rockford. Carrie Knodel, the former juvenile probation officer who runs the program, says the district would do well to learn from his model.
In my mind, the workforce development system and the educational system are joined at the hip. Not every job in our workforce here in Rockford, Illinois, requires a college education.
Knodel argues that more vocational-style training would help kids stay interested in school, and the smaller class sizes here at Youth Build have made a world of difference for students like Victoria Mergener, who dropped out of high school before landing here.
People motivated me here. When I was in regular high school, the teachers had so many students they didn't have time to motivate people. The teacher barely remembered your name. And here, like, everybody remember you, they know your name. So kind of made me feel like I belonged here.
16 to 24-year-olds from low-income families who drop out of high school can enroll at Youth Build Rockford. They can earn a GED, get job training, and help with other life skills. Carrie Knodel says the Rockford school system seemed to forget about the value of vocational education as the city's economy declined and thousands of manufacturing jobs left town.
I think there was a perception on some in the educational system that, well, maybe there's not as much of a need to have students preparing for those careers because the careers aren't there, or at least not in Rockford.
Offering students a combination of academic and vocational courses can help keep at-risk students in school, according to researchers at Johns Hopkins University, who completed a 5-year study. Next year, the Rockford District wants to open a school for high school juniors and seniors that would offer this combination curriculum. The idea came about when Superintendent Thompson went on a series of tours of manufacturing plants still operating in Rockford.
After I did the second one, the trade unions came in to see me and said, you know, Dennis, we need to get in on this. I said, get in on what? What you're doing with manufacturing? I said, well, explain to me the issue. And they said, we're seeing a declining number of people applying for our union apprentice jobs every year.
Rockford's hitting at the truancy problem from lots of angles, but many local residents believe turning around the city's slumping economy would provide the kind of hope for the future that Rockford's youth are lacking. There are some reasons for optimism. A recent survey by Milwaukee-based Manpower Employment Outlook estimates that 37% of companies in the area plan to increase their staffs between now and September. With an energetic young mayor aiming to redevelop the area and a school system that's trying to rethink its approach to education, Rockford hopes to shed its identity as a place where too many kids choose to skip school. I'm Jay Field.
This could be the final day of our excessive heat in Illinois and Indiana. We do have a heat advisory until 7 o'clock tonight, though, for central and southern Illinois and all of the state of Indiana, and an excessive heat warning for Chicago and southwestern Illinois around St. Louis. Meteorologist Scott Olthoff says today in the north it'll be partly to mostly sunny. A chance of thunderstorms will move in there. Elsewhere across the two states, mostly sunny, hot, and humid, and highs ranging from 90 in the far north to 100 degrees in southern sections. Tonight in northern sections of the two states, cloudy, periods of showers and thunderstorms. In the central sections of Illinois and Indiana, becoming mostly cloudy, showers and thunderstorms possible after midnight, and just partly cloudy in the south still, the lows ranging from 66 in the north to 80 in the far south. And for tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with periods of showers and thunderstorms. Some storms could be severe and produce locally heavy rainfall tomorrow. The highs for tomorrow ranging from only 78 degrees in the north to 92 in the south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, August 2nd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.